talking about the instrument-rated Christian. Now, what I'm doing is I'm paralleling my experience as a pilot, and I'm comparing that to, as a Christian, we must live by faith. In fact, there are several places in the Word of God that it says, the just shall live by faith. Everybody say live. Now, you know, it's one thing to receive Jesus by faith, but we must learn to live by faith. And so I don't care what you do. If you're in the ministry, pastoring, evangelizing, missions work, youth ministry, business, and this is true, raising children, whatever you do that's going to end up being successful for God, you're going to have to do it by faith. Everybody say by faith. So faith is not just like, okay, I got saved, you know, by faith, and now, bless God, roll up my sleeves and go make God proud. No, you've got to trust God every step of the way. But the problem is, and I just want to just make a few remarks by way of review, the problem is so many Christians, they are not living by faith. So many Christians are not what we might call instrument rated. And remember, we talked about two classifications of pilots. Everybody starts out in their training as a private pilot, and they know how to fly on a clear day, you know, when the weather's fine. But it's a different thing to get in an airplane when it's overcast, it's rainy, it's drizzly. And then the question comes, do you know how to fly that airplane by instruments? Do you know how to fly that airplane by reference to the instrument panel only instead of looking out your window trying to find a river or some landmark? That's a whole different ball game. And if we could compare that, most Christians, they can fly on a good day, but when it comes a little adversity, a little difficulty in their life, then, you know, they don't know how to get off the ground. If they do, they're dangerous. They're going to get in trouble. Now, look back in your notes. What are some of the different types of instrument panels that we said that Christians can live by? Instead of the Word of God, that was, we said, the reliable panels of the Word of God. What are some other ones? Help me. Feelings. What else? What others say. Some people live their lives by what others say. Self-image. How do you see yourself? How about your past? That's a big one. A lot of people live their whole lives by reference to the past. What else? Circumstances. I mean, you could just go on and on with this list. So there's different instrument panels. Now, we started into a study of five parallels. And if you weren't with us last night, you start writing real quick. Five parallels between flying by instruments and living victoriously by faith. And I gave you the first one last night. We said, number one, you must have a totally reliable instrument panel. Do you remember that? The very first parallel is, if you want to be an instrument-rated believer, you must have a totally reliable instrument panel. And, of course, the instrument panel for the Christian is what? The Word of God. All right, number two. We're starting now new material. Let me give you the second parallel that we want to spend time in. It takes training and recurrent training. This is number two, the second principle or parallel. It takes training and recurrent training to be instrument proficient. It takes training and recurrent training to be instrument proficient. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin with verse 10, and let's begin to examine this parallel between living victoriously by faith and flying by instruments. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's go to verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, "But thou hast fully known." Now, he's writing to young Timothy, and he's saying, "Timothy, you want to be successful." How many of you out there want to be successful in whatever you're doing? You're going to have to be instrument rated. He's saying, "Timothy," verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life." These are very important areas, by the way. Paul says, "You've known my teaching, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose." Everybody say purpose. That's a big one. You need purpose. You need vision in your life. "You've known my faith." Now, watch this. Don't miss these next few. "Long suffering." Ooh, somebody said, "Brother Jason, what's long suffering?" It's long suffering. That's the definition for long suffering. It's when you hang in there and 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 your flesh isn't real happy about it. But that's long suffering. He says, you've known my love walk. Whew, this will put goosebumps on you. Patience. Everybody say patience. Persecutions. There's one. Now, I wouldn't suggest you get up and claim that one. You don't need to get up and confess that one every morning. You'll get enough of that. Afflictions. Everybody say afflictions. He says, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions, would you mark this phrase, I endured. Everybody say, I endured. And praise God for this part. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, before we read any further, let me just say this. Paul, he's being real here. He's saying, Timothy, listen, I've been through some hard times. You know that. You were with me on some of these trips. He said, I've been through adversities, afflictions, persecutions, long suffering. I mean, my flesh wasn't happy about the circumstances. And I'm going to just kind of give you the Jason Peebles paraphrase here. But I made it because I knew how to fly by instruments. Now, when I took my instrument training, you know, I was already a pilot. And I told you a little bit of this last night. But I went to take my instrument training. It's interesting to me that in aviation, they always require ground school and flight school. And I think you ought to write that down because they break it up for a purpose. They require you to go through what they call ground school, which is sitting in a class, learning out of a book. But just because you've learned the classes and you've passed the test that you've studied out of a book, you wouldn't want to get in an airplane with somebody who'd only gone that far, would you? No, sir. I mean, that guy got on there and said, folks, this is my first flight, but I passed ground school. Everybody would be getting off of that airplane. All right, then they require you to do the flight part of it or the flight school. And normally, people will go through the ground school first. You don't have to. Sometimes you can do it back and forth parallel. But most people get the ground school out of the way. Then they go and concentrate on the flying part of it. Now, see, I see a relationship between that and Christians. It's one thing to sit and study the principles. This is ground school. We're having ground school tonight, all right? This is ground school. We're learning the principles. We're reviewing the principles for some of you. But that's different than going out into the real world on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and flying it. Everybody say flying it. Now, when I took my instrument training, there's a number of ways you can do it, but I hired, because of my schedule, I hired a guy to come to me. He came to me and he brought a simulator. He brought an aircraft simulator in a big, huge travel box. And I did it during December because December is usually a slower month for my travels for Christmas, obvious reasons. And he came and he set the simulator up in my office. Now, I owned an aircraft at that time and I had been flying not by instruments, but what they call a VFR, visual flight rules. And you can fly safely like that on a clear day, but I needed instrument training. And so I would sit there. This went 10 days, and it was 12 to 18 hours a day. I mean, I worked my little tail off. Because he would come in there early in the morning, and you would fly the simulator. Everybody say simulator. Now, Christians need to do what I call faith or mental simulation. Would you write that phrase down? You need to learn the art of faith, or what you might call mental simulation. So that when you're believing God in an area, let's say you're believing God for a home. Let's take that for an instance. My wife and I, we've done that several times. We believe God for a home. Well, you need to begin to imagine it. That said, I told you about the power of the imagination that I have back on my tape table. You need to learn to imagine, meditate, begin to thank God for it before you ever get it. Well, Brother Jason, now thank God once again. Anybody can thank God after they get it. The faith is thanking God before you get it. But I would sit there on that simulator and I would fly instrument approaches. That's really the big thing, is learning how to do instrument approaches. And once you get it, they're not that hard. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. You know, once you get it, you get it. And so, and then we would go out to the airport and actually get in the aircraft and do it. Everybody say, do it. Everybody say, do the stuff. The thing is, we got a lot of Christians who are really good in ground school and they've never been in an airplane. Hello, are you out there? You know, they've learned the theory, but they've not taken the theory and done the stuff. So that when they get into an affliction, now the Apostle Paul says, you know my purpose, you've known my mission, you know my love walk, all these things, but you also know that we had some tough times, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Well, how did he do it? Let's read it and we're going to see this. Everybody say training and recurrent training. Now that is very important. Verse 12. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, we don't see many people claiming that promise, and you know, that's just going to happen. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now put a little bracket, if you mark in your Bible, put a little mark from verse 14 down to verse 17, because these are very important verses for training and recurrent training. The whole parallel of training and recurrent training to be instrument proficient. Verse 14, there's some words and phrases I'm going to point out to you, and I would ask you to mark these. He says, but continue. Underline the word continue. So evidently, Timothy, this was not new to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, continue. You've started well. You've got the principles. You've been to instrument flight training, Timothy. But it's not just enough to have gone to the course once. You have to stay proficient. Everybody say the word proficient. And here's the thing. You can have an instrument ticket, but what if you haven't flown in 6 months? You're rusty. Now, you know, the airplane that I'm flying now, the Lord gave us this Cessna Golden Eagle. That's the name of it, a Golden Eagle. Isn't that just like God? Hallelujah, I want to put that little reference, Isaiah, about they shall mount up with wings like eagles. I just put that little reference under. There's a picture of a Golden Eagle on the side of this airplane. It's called a Golden Eagle 421. And this plane, even at 65% power, you know, not running it hard, it goes, it's a 200-knot airplane. I mean, you're flying, you're going over the ground about 220 miles an hour. Now, that thing can get away from you really fast if you're not proficient. So you're getting ready to, you know, you're flying through the soup, here you come, you're trying to land at an airport, you can't see the ground, can't hardly see your wingtip, can't see the sky. I mean, you're just in the soup, what they call the soup. And you better be instrument proficient. Or what will happen is you were supposed to have done this and that, but you've already passed the point for this and that, and that plane is flying you instead of you flying it. See what I'm saying? And so pilots talk about the plane getting ahead of them. The plane's ahead of me instead of me being ahead of the plane. Well, there's Christians where the circumstances are ahead of them instead of them ahead of the circumstances. And they should have been doing this and that, and that point has long since gone, and they're wondering, they just feel like, I can't catch up. The life is like it's running away from me instead of us flying it by faith. That's proficiency. There's a difference between, you see, I got my instrument ticket 5 years ago. Yeah, but you haven't done any flying, so you know what the FAA says, the Federal Aviation Administration? They say, you're not allowed to fly. This is a rule. This is a law. You're not allowed to go out and get in that airplane unless you're proficient, and they have certain criteria of how many hours, how many approaches within 6 months, and that's the minimal requirements to be proficient. Well, what if you're not? Do you have to go back to school? No, you have to go back and either get on a simulator or get another pilot to fly with you on a clear day, but you're under the hood and he's watching out for traffic for you, and you have to do the instrument approaches and do it. It's not just enough to know it, you got to do it. You got to do it. And so he's saying to Timothy, look at this, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Would you circle the word learned? Everybody say learned. Learned. Everybody say learned. Learned. Everybody say learned. Learned. I'm going to keep emphasizing that because you got to learn it, you got to learn it, you got to learn it, you got to learn it. I can't just impart it. You've got to learn it. And see, a lot of people, they want to go to, and again, I want you to understand, I'm not opposed to going to meetings where blessings and miracles, God does that. But the thing is, you gotta discipline yourself so that you're not always chasing rabbits. There's a lot of Christians that they just want to go to a meeting, you know, where it's high intensity and maybe miracles are happening, hoping they're going to get a touch from God. Oh, God, would you touch? Honey, if God came down and touched you with His laser beam coming out of His finger, I mean, you just really, I know what they mean by touch from God, but if God just reached down and really touched you, you'd be smoked, man. You'd be in heaven. Amen. So this whole thing of, God, would you just touch me? I mean, he took His finger with a laser beam and wrote the Ten Commandments. If He came down and took that beam and touched you, dear Lord, you'd be raptured right there. That'd be it, you know. You just have to go on to heaven. But I know what they mean. They want an experience from God. The thing is, a lot of people, they can, without intending to, they are conditioning themselves to feelings, they're conditioning themselves to experiences, and they never learn to fly by instruments. They fly by experiences. And so they've had a good week if they've had a touch from God. Oh, God, would you just be with me? Honey, He's living in you. That'd be just as dumb as me sitting in my airplane. Oh, Lord, let this airplane just be with me. I'm in it and it's around me. And I mean, come on, let's get on beyond that. You're in the airplane. Well, God's in you. See, God's in you. Now, you need to learn to yield and fly by the instrument panel. He's telling Timothy, look, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast, here's the word again, circle it again. Everybody say learned.
Learned.
Everybody say learned.
Learned.
Everybody say learned.
Learned.
Whom thou hast learned them. Now, see, I don't think for a minute that Timothy didn't know these things. In fact, it's implied that you already know these. You've been assured of them. But Timothy, stay proficient. Timothy, stay proficient. Don't just know the stuff, use the stuff. And there's an old saying that is absolutely true in what we're talking about. You use it or you're going to lose it. You use it or you're going to lose it. Verse 15. Well, what is he referring to? He's referring to the instrument panel that we talked about last night. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy instrument panel. Well, that's the Jason Peebles paraphrase. Let's see. What is it? That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Circle the phrase, make thee wise, make thee wise, make thee wise, make thee wise. Make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, is he saying, Timothy, I hope you get saved? He's writing to a saved man. Certainly the scriptures will help you get saved, but the point is that the word salvation doesn't just mean walk down and get saved. Walk down there and meet sweet Jesus and get saved. It means ongoing deliverance, ongoing salvation, ongoing the whole provision of God, ongoing throughout your life. He's saying, now Timothy, you know these things, but you got to continue in the Word, because the Word is going to give you wisdom. That wisdom will get you delivered and delivered and delivered and saved and saved. There'll be, once you're saved today, so, oh, praise God, I've got it all worked out today. Well, just hang around next week. There'll be something else you need to be saved out of. Isn't that right? Wisdom. Wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Now, we can learn things by what the Bible does not say. The Bible does not say the principal thing is miracles, therefore get miracles. And you know, if somebody just took a sound bite out of this tape, they'd think I'm against miracles. I believe in miracles. I've had miracles happen to me. That airplane we've got is a miracle. But you don't live on miracles. You live by faith and by wisdom. I'm going to say that again. You live by faith and by wisdom. The Bible says the principal thing is wisdom, therefore get wisdom. There's a whole book in the Bible, the book of wisdom, Proverbs. Proverbs. Well, what is wisdom? Let's think about that. What is wisdom? Well, we could put a number of definitions to it, but basically it's this. You may want to just put this in your own shorthand in your notes somehow. But wisdom is thinking like God and acting like God. Wisdom is not, you know, you've been to school and you're smart. Wisdom is thinking like God and acting like God. Now get back over to a pilot. What would wisdom for a pilot be if you're trying to do an instrument approach into Kansas City in the middle of a rain shower? Wisdom is getting out your approach plates, open those things up, and finding the approach for Kansas City, runway, whatever, whatever. And you know, you look at that and you fly that procedure. And as long as you fly that procedure, you'll not hit the ground, you'll not hit any radio towers. In fact, you will break out of, and the runway will be right there. That's one of the most amazing things. To fly totally by reference to instruments. And the first few times you do this when you're training, I mean, you just go, yes, all right, praise God. Because you think the runway's there, you really believe the runway's there, but it's another thing when you finally see it. I mean, you're pretty well convinced it's there, but it sure is good when you see it. Well, you're in a circumstance, you're believing for a home, and it's one thing, you know, to sense God's with you and that God's doing this and so forth. It's another thing when you got the keys. Got the keys. It's my house. Amen. Praise God. Wisdom. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we'll just circle this little phrase. Is profitable. Profitable. I like that. Everybody say profitable. Honey, the Bible will not take anything away from you. The Bible will add to you. Profitable. You know the devil, he uses fear on people. Walk there right now, and he does this to young people. Walk there, you get committed to God. The devil comes and whispers in your ear. You get committed to God. You know what happens to young people to get committed to God? He'll ship your can off to Africa and make you marry some ugly woman and live in a grass hut the rest of your life. Yeah. I'm telling you, most young people, it's like if they get committed to God, fun time's over. Now it's time to go to Africa and serve God. The devil's a liar. Real living. I mean, fun, adventurous, exciting living is when you get yielded to God. You have to give up some things. You have to give up things like, you know, suicide and dope and all kind of sexual disease that could send you to your grave untimely. I mean, yeah, it's real tough. Somebody says, it's hard living for God. No, it's hard living for the devil. It's hard living for the devil. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And underline these, for teaching or doctrine, it'll teach you. For reproof, it'll correct you. Correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. There's times the Word will come and point out, hey, you're not doing that right. But I'm so glad God doesn't just say, you're not doing that right. Good luck. God comes along and says, you know, Jason, you're not doing that right. Here's now how you do it. Oh, I like that. Correction. He'll show me how to correct it. Instruction. He'll instruct me. And I love verse 17. You ought to circle that. Boy, this is a calligraphy verse for somebody to get hold of. Verse 17. That the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished. I like that. Thoroughly furnished. Everybody say thoroughly furnished. Unto all good works. God will furnish you for whatever His call in your life is. He'll give you the equipment necessary to get it done. God doesn't call you and then say, you're on your own. God furnishes you. Well, what does that mean, furnished, thoroughly furnished? Everybody say thoroughly furnished. Well, have you ever seen a home, maybe in your home that you bought or you're renting? Or I remember when we look back in my life, you know, the first home we got, we didn't really have enough furniture to fill it all up. It wasn't thoroughly furnished. Now, honey, I was glad to have the house. But, you know, you walk through enough empty rooms after a while, you finally get a vision. I'd like to have something in these rooms. Oh, come right in. Sit down on the hardwood floor. Go ahead. You know, it's a whole lot nicer to have a place for them to sit. Well, it's one thing to be called of God. He's saying, Timothy, let me tell you something, Timothy. You got a call of God on your life. You're a young man. You got a long ways to go. You know, from a child you learn the Scriptures. Now, don't leave off with what you've learned. Continue. Keep learning. It'll add wisdom to you. It'll furnish you. It'll give you what you need. Give you what you need. Sometimes I think too much. You know that? Anybody ever think too much? Sometimes I get myself into what I call the paralysis of analysis. Just analyze something until, well, see, now, if they say this, I'm going to say that. But if they say this, I'll say that. But what if they say a combination of the two? Then I'll have to make a combination of the two here. And before long, you're going, what are we even talking about, you know? It's like, you're so confused. And so, I'm telling you the truth. When we got this Cessna 421 given to us, I mean, of course, I was blessed. But I sat down and I said to my wife, and Martha, she's just so practical. I said, honey, what do you think this means? Now, that's the kind of guy I am. I want to analyze it.
What do you think? What do you think God gave us that airplane for? What do you think it means?" And Martha said, "Well, I think it means you're supposed to travel fast." I don't know what I was looking for. I was looking for something real deep, but she just said, "I think it means you're supposed to keep traveling fast." I thought, "Well, that sounds good to me, you know. All right. Just don't think so much. Just don't think so much. Learn to trust more. Learn to trust more." All right, go with me to Philippians. Hang a left, hang a left, hang a left. Let's go to the book of Philippians. You getting something tonight? Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about instrument-rated Christians, Christians who learn to fly by reference to the instrument panel, which is God's Word. And the second parallel, we said it takes training and recurrent training. Training and recurrent training to be instrument proficient. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to continue on this line of learning, learning, learning. Philippians 4, let's go to verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10. Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." Can I give you the Jason Peebles paraphrase of verse 10? Philippians 4, verse 10. Paul's saying, you know, I'm so glad that you started supporting my ministry again. He's talking about money, and that's very obvious if you read on down to the next few verses, verse 15 and 16. He said, you know, I'm so glad your church is supporting me again. You left off for a while. You had a desire, but you started back, and that really helps me. Actually, the reason we have the book of Philippians is a thank you letter from the Apostle Paul because they supported his ministry. We're reading a thank you letter here. And he says, I'm so grateful. But in this, he gives us some wonderful insights to being an instrument, not only rated, but proficient. Not only an instrument rated, but proficient believer. Verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. Here's our famous phrase again. Would you please circle it? For I have learned. Everybody say learned.
Learned.
Everybody say learned.
Learned.
Everybody say learned.
Learned.
He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, there's a mouthful. Most believers live in the sin of when? Oh, I'll really be blessed. Oh, God, I'll serve you when I get that house. And we start cutting deals. I'll even have a home group meeting for the church in my house. I'll even let the kids beat the walls up. God, oh, God, I will. Well, we get the house, and then we're not really happy until, oh, God, would you please give me furniture for this house? Get the furniture. God, would you please help my husband and I, my wife and I? Would you please help us have children? Oh, we'll be blessed then. When? Once the children come, it's like, God, help us raise these children and get them on all fire. Oh, Lord, we'll be blessed then. Get them on all raised and grown and out of the house. Folks, when never gets here. I said, when never quite gets here. Write this down. This is worth coming tonight for. Enjoy the journey. Would you please write that little phrase down? Learn to enjoy the journey. If you live in the sin of when, eventually you won't be happy till you get to heaven. Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am. Now, please do not confuse, and this used to bother me, and I think this will help you. That used to bother me. In fact, I didn't used to like to read that verse. Because if I looked at my life or my ministry, there were some things that I wanted changed. And the Lord came along to me, and this helped me a lot. He kind of counseled me. He said, Jason, contentment is not passivity. Write that down. Contentment does not equal passivity. You know what passivity is? It's just laying down like, que sera, sera, whatever it'll be, it'll be. And there's a lot of people that fall into that. In fact, and I hope this doesn't step on some of your doctrinal toes, but it really doesn't matter because I'm leaving Monday morning anyway. Praise God. But you know, there's some Christians, and I'll have to say, they're good Christians. The people that love God, they're on the way to heaven. But they bought into this deal hook, line, and sinker. And basically, the doctrine of the philosophy goes like this. Whatever comes my way must be from God. because God is all-powerful and God's in control. Therefore, everything that comes my way must be God. Wrong. How can you say that, Brother Jason? Because the Bible tells believers to put on the whole armor of God. Why would we need to put on the whole armor of God? Why would we be told to lift high the shield of faith? Why would we be told to quench fiery darts? Because there's things coming your way that aren't sent from God.
That's right.
But this passivity idea of just lay down and whatever comes my way must be from God, I tell you, that incapacitates, that slows down so many people. Well, what is contentment? Contentment has everything to do with an inner posture of peace and trust in God. It has everything to do with an inner posture of peace and trust in God. But it doesn't mean that you can't do things on the outside and work hard and believe to improve yourself. But in that process, it's not, well, I'll be happy when I get there. No, I'm happy now, but I'm moving on down the road in the process. Are you seeing what I'm trying to describe here? Paul says in verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Can I give you the Jason Peebles paraphrase? I know what it's like when I'm broke, and I know what it's like when I got a bunch of money. That's what abased and abounded means. Everywhere and in all things, here's our phrase again, I am instructed. I wonder who's instructing him. I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was instructing him. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here's the classic verse that so many times we pull out of context. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Isn't that wonderful? I can do all things. Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, what's he referring to there? He's saying, I can serve Christ. I'll just paraphrase this. Paul said, you know, I know how to run my ministry on a shoestring. We've had to do that. I know how to run my ministry when we got money in the bank. I've learned how to get a boat ticket when we got plenty of money, and I've learned how to get a boat ticket when it doesn't seem like we can buy the boat ticket to go across the Mediterranean. Now, he is not saying that God is the one frustrating him. He's not saying that it's God's will for him not to have any. He's just saying we live in a world where at times you're going to be afflicted. We just read that. You're going to be afflicted. You're going to be a persecutor. You're going to have difficulties. But I've learned to trust Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.
Amen.
So don't draw out of this something that's not there. It's not saying that God, you know, wants you to not have very much money and be poor. Or, you know, do this or do that to you. Send, you know, an 18-wheeler to run over you to teach you character. I won't teach you character, I'll teach you how to be flattened. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let me just share with you, let me pause here and draw from my life what I'm walking through right now. Because I can just hear some of your little wheels turning. Well, I know these principles. I'm a faith man. I'm a faith woman. You know how single women, that's why they always end their prayers, amen. They're believing for amen. Some of you single ladies, that was worth coming. That's what you all said, amen. I told my little girl that. Now, my little girl, you understand, she just turned 9. And so this was this last year, 8. And I told her that little joke. And every night she'd go, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, my. Already claiming one at that age. I said, just don't even say amen anymore. We don't even need to end our prayers like that. All right. But here's the thing. We all have what I call comfort zones. In other words, if I could draw a circle around me where I'm standing, there's many times that our faith is comfortable moving in this zone. We've tested it. We've proved it. At one time, that was a stretch, but now it's a comfort zone. A comfort zone of faith. We know faith works there. But the Holy Spirit has this habit of coming along with his little broom. And he comes along and he says, I don't like that circle. And he brushes that circle out and he extends your circle. And all of a sudden you go, oh no. My faith only works this far, but there's another zone out there. The ultra zone. I don't know. Yeah. Klingons live out there. You know, the bad guys. And fear begins to hit us. Now, what I'm referring to is this. For years, you know, this is my 17th year in the traveling teaching ministry, so to speak. There's a comfort zone there. Then the Lord came along and said, start your missionary agency. Well, that took a stretch of my faith. And there was a time where I was kind of off balance and trying to believe God to start a missionary agency. And we've got over 50, you know, families that operate under our ministry that are out in other parts of the world. We send out their newsletters, get their money, put it in the bank, do all this kind of stuff for them. Well, that you know, all of a sudden, now I'm comfortable there. About 3 years ago, the Lord began to deal with me about taking our ministry to radio. And there's a struggle there because my circle is being erased again, and now there's another ultra zone out there. And so we stretched to do that. Then the Lord came along and said, now I want you to start going to those cities where your radio broadcast is, rent a ballroom, and start having meetings. Now, see, you may not relate to this. Apply it to your life wherever the principle fits. But this was most uncomfortable to my flesh. Why? Well, when you go to a church, nice people come. Most of them. You got a sound system. You got beautiful chairs. Man, these are nice chairs, aren't they? I am telling you the honest God's truth. I've been all over the country. These are the nicest chairs I've ever seen in a church. These are two-hour preaching chairs right there. That's got enough foam for your fanny that your fanny can sit there for 2 hours. And you don't even have to stand up and fluff your pillow. You know what I'm talking about? Praise God. But you know, it's different when you go into a ballroom and now you got to pay money for that ballroom and hope somebody comes. Hope somebody comes. Now, I'll tell you the honest truth. I'm not going to lie and I'm not going to try to sound like, you know, I'm something that I'm not. I've been to a number of these radio meetings. I prayed to God, oh, you know, pump myself up and studied and rebuked devils and, you know, claimed in Jesus' name, get myself ready. Hallelujah. Go down to the ballroom and there'd be like 10 people there. And I had a ballroom and I was wise enough to rent a smaller room. We had a room with, I thought 50 would come, 10. Now, what does your flesh feel like? Well, if you're used to standing up in front of a few hundred people or at times a few thousand people and you walk in there and there's 10. I know y'all are sanctified and you would have no problems and you would just walk in there anointed of God. Here's the kind, I'll be honest with you. My flesh goes, 10. You feel like giving them a little sermonette. Go back to your room, cry, call your wife. Go sit in the hot tub. Do something. Also, the fear comes, these 10 people aren't going to be able to give enough in the offering to pay for the room. You're going to lose money on this deal. I know y'all would never think about money because y'all are so, you know, spiritual. But I don't know about you. I like to pay my bills. In my philosophy, when I go do a ministry endeavor, the first thing you do is you pay your bills. And then if there's some left over to put back in the ministry, that's the next thing you do. I mean, I'm on a salary. You know, the money I get's not my money. It goes into the general funds and for the operation of the ministry. We're trying to do something for God here. I'm not just trying to earn a living. And so go in there and tent. And there are so many times, I tell you, I would go in there and by faith, I preached, if you had seen me, I preached like there was 1,000 people there. I didn't just give them a little sermonette. I preached for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. I blessed. Once it was so pitiful. There's one time I walked in there was less than 10. I'm not going to tell you how many there were. I was hurting so bad. I said, I need to sow a seed bad. I said, y'all see my tape table back there? I said, you go back there and get whatever you want free and take it right now. Man, they thought, this is a great meeting. They ran back there and got all my tapes. This one lady, she was walking out like this. Oh, praise God, I love Jason Peebles. I love Jason Peebles. You know, Jeff was with me. He said, you should have told him like 2 or 3. I wasn't thinking, you know, real quick. after they went back there, some other people started coming in. I said, that's it right there. You don't get any, you know. Oh, man, I'm telling you, honestly. Well, your flesh. I'm talking about faith pressing into an area where it's not comfortable maybe for your faith. Well, there you feel like quitting. I mean, we can laugh about it, but I just felt like quitting. I'd go back to Martha, you know, like a little dog with a tail between his legs. I'd go back there and I'd say, honey, I said, you know, she said, how'd it go? Well, I said, it was just half a notch above pitiful. I said, there's hardly anybody. I said, I did a great job. I said, but I'm hurting on the inside. I said, what do you think this means? I'm always analyzing everything too much. And that's why I'm married to Martha. She said, I think you're just supposed to stay in there. We know God's told us to do this. She said, you just stay in there and God's gonna open the doors and people are going to start coming. Well, after you have enough of those, you go through different things. After that, you go lower, 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 lower. Finally, there's no, you can't go any lower. And so it's like, okay, there's going to be 10 people there. I'm expecting 10 people to be there. You're walking down the hall, you know, going to your meeting, and you're thinking the wrong thoughts. But it's kind of like, I'm prepared. Okay, 2 people, I'm going to preach to them. 2 people, I'm going to preach to them. I remember we went to Albany, New York this first of this year. I'm walking down the hall. True story. I'm walking down the hall. I'm thinking, I don't care. 2 people, I'm going to preach to them. But I'm not going to give them my tape, so I'm not going to do that again. I've learned my lesson on that. And so I'm walking down the hall. I rounded the corner, and I looked down the hall. There's all these people, like, spilling out of our ballroom. This is how low I was. I thought, they put something else in my ballroom. They have moved me. Move my tapes out and put something else in my ballroom. Is that bad or what? I see these men passing chairs. They're in the hallway getting extra, putting them in the room. I still don't see, you know, my associate, Jeff, and I'm... And finally I see him. No, that's my room. I walked in there. There's over 100 people. I've never been to New York in my life. There's over 100 people in there. I walked in. They started clapping and applauding. I looked around like... I'm telling you. I looked around like, who's in here, you know? And I thought, I just walked in. I didn't tell any different. I'm here. Praise God. I taught. Now, you know, there was a little more zip in my preaching that night. I'll just have to tell you. But now, see, the last few we've been to, it's been between 80 and 100. It's beginning to build. Now, the Lord told me this. He said, if you can get 100, you can get 200. If you can get 200, you could get 400. Just stay in there. Now, you have to be called to do whatever you're doing. Now, don't just think you can just pick out what you want. I know I'm called to do this. I can give you scripture that God has given me on that particular item. God always guides me by the Holy Spirit and by scripture. That combination, He'll always give me not only that witness of the Spirit over a period of time, not just a little flash in the pan. I'm talking about months. It'll grow on me. It'll settle. But He always gives me a key scripture. And Martha and I have a key scripture about this. Don't turn there. But in fact, it's Psalm 19, where it says, their voice has gone out throughout the heavens. Their line is extended throughout the earth. A day unto day, utter speech. Night unto night, knowledge goes forth. And the Lord said, there'll be a time where your broadcast will be on 24 hours a day. Day and night, the voice of teaching will be out there. And we pray that scripture as though it's ours, which we claim by application that it is ours, for our radio ministry. Now it's building. It's growing. But I'll tell you, it took some flying by instruments. Because I wasn't seeing any visible, recognizable landmark. I walk in there. Where's Gary Don? I need him. Where's my pastor? I need him. Flying by the instrument panel. Staying proficient. Because yesterday's victories, they're not going to give me the victory today. They can encourage me, but I've got to get back in the airplane and fly again by instruments. Just because I flew to Kansas in the 421 by instruments, that doesn't mean I automatically get to go home. I got to get back in and do the stuff again. Everybody say, do it again. Everybody say, do it again. And a lot of Christians, they just, well, I read a book. I got tapes on faith. Well, you know, let's give you a star. You're just wonderful. Look at verse 13. I can do all things. And I'm going to paraphrase this. I can do all things flying by instruments through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Paul says. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Colossians 2. Just turn a page or so to the right. I want to just give you a little insight here, kind of hit this and run, that has helped me so much. And write this sub-point down. We're still talking about training and recurrent training. But in the midst of your faith walking, one of the greatest things is the principle of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Because when you go to enough ballroom meetings and you don't see it happening, the danger is you keep going back to God. Oh, God, would you please? Would you please? God. And it's like every time I'd go back to God, He'd just say, keep doing it. Quit asking me. I told you what to do. It's like I told my little boy, go cut the grass, and he came back. Oh, Father, reveal thy will to me. Excuse me, son? Oh, thou most gracious Father, reveal thy will to me. I told you to cut the grass. But he didn't feel like it, you know? Oh, would you please show me your perfect will? My perfect will for you to get that lawnmower and get out there and cut the grass. I'm not showing you anything beyond that. And don't talk to me about going swimming. Don't talk to me about, go do what I told you to do. Now, in the midst of whatever you're believing for, instead of asking, you need to enter into, write this down, continual thanksgiving. If you've heard God, it's time to quit asking. It's time to start thanking. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. Murmuring and complaining is the language of doubt and unbelief. Colossians 2, mark verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Would you underline the word received? Everybody say received. Everybody say received. How many of you believe there's a difference between receiving and walking? Verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So there's a receiving and there's a walking. Well, let me just ask you this. Did you receive Jesus by feelings or by faith? Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught. There it is again. I've taught you this, Paul says. And here's the key phrase, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And some of your versions might say gratitude, but it's better translated thanksgiving. Now, here's the key. Don't miss this. Thanksgiving sends your roots deep down. Thanksgiving, when you abound with thanksgiving, it doesn't say a little bit of thanksgiving. It says abounding. Everybody say abounding. Well, what is abound? You know, is saying thank you, Lord, once a day, is that abounding? Well, somebody says, man, I'm really hooked on cigarettes. It's like my dad was a chain smoker. Man, I'm really zoned out on my... I'm really hooked on cigarettes. I smoke one cigarette a month. I go, I don't think you're addicted. Now, my dad was addicted. My dad smoked one cigarette a minute. I mean, this guy was a chain smoker before he got delivered. I mean, he'd light one. Before the other was finished, he was reaching for the next one. That's abounding. I'm trying to get a point across to you. Just because, you know, you show up on Easter and thank you God, you're not in the realm of abounding. Abounding is when you thank you, Lord, this radio ministry is going to work. 5 minutes later, thank you, Lord, this radio ministry is going to work. Another doubt hits you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that all our bills are paid. 2 minutes later, a devilish Klingon comes your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you're thanking God. It establishes and roots you in whatever it is that you're believing for. Now, I heard the most unusual testimony from a minister who was a former homosexual. It's a true story. And he had a lifestyle of homosexuality. And a minister had prayed over him. And he had gone through quite a dramatic salvation experience. Quite a dramatic deliverance. I mean, demons actually manifested and he was delivered and so forth like that. But he said it wasn't just, and we know this from the Word of God, whatever it is, don't the devil come and try to steal the word, steal the seed? And so just, days, a week or two into it, he began to just sense a pulling back to the old lifestyle. And so he went back, pray for me again, I need deliverance again. And this minister, as this guy's testimony goes, was wise enough to say, no, you don't need deliverance again. You need to start abounding with thanksgiving that you're delivered. The guy caught hold of the principle I'm talking about. And this is part of your recurrent training to stay instrument proficient. He caught hold of that, and whenever he would feel the feelings, the sensual feelings, the flesh pull, he would just open his mouth and start abounding. Thank you, Lord, I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, I'm not a homosexual anymore. Thank you, Lord, I'm a child of God. I'm recreated in Christ Jesus. I belong. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he said, my feelings began to line up with what God says instead of what the world had been saying. Now, there's a lot of pitiful Christians that mean very well. They come to the altar, and I'm not trying to make fun of them. We have altar calls. But they'll come and they'll go, they'll reach her, and then the next week they'll be right there again. They're trying so hard. They need to recognize it's been done in Jesus' name, and they start needing to thank God for it. You can just almost say, God, give me enough strength just to carry it one more week. God doesn't want you to carry it one more week. I believe I've got enough strength now. Thank you, God. May God be going with it again. It's like, just leave that there. And in my experience with this radio, I thought I was pretty, established in faith until I walked into a few of those ballrooms and had, 10 smiling faces looking at me. I went back to faith 101. Verse 7. Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted, built up in Him, and whatever He has for you. Established in the faith. How many want to be established? Not wishy-washy, established. As you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That will root you and establish you. The last reference. Let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. We're talking about the parallels of flying an aircraft by instruments and living victoriously by faith. And this particular parallel, number 2, says it takes training and recurrent training to be instrument proficient. Romans chapter 4. We can learn something from the life of Abraham and Sarah as they believe God for the child of promise. Let's look at verse 16. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's a lot of stuff right there, but basically what Paul's reviewing there is he's saying that God wanted to reach not only Abraham's family, but all the nations. The seed even includes the Gentiles that would come in Christ. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith. That's the Gentiles. Of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written. Now he's quoting from Genesis 17. as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Would you mark that? God said to Abraham what? I have made thee a what? Father of many nations. Now, we're not going to turn back to Genesis for the sake of time, but it's test time. Did God say that to him before or after the child of promise had come? Before, yes. Now, think about that. God said to him before Isaac was born, I have made you a father of many nations. Does that give you any insight as to how God operates? He says it before. So God comes to me, and again, by application, you draw it into your life wherever it fits. Because, you know, you're not called to radio ministry, or perhaps, you know, most people are not. But God comes and said, I have made you a radio minister, and you will step into the ballroom successfully. He says that before it's a reality, in the natural. And if you will believe what God says, watch this, don't miss it. If you will believe the instrument panel, you'll get there. If you believe the instrument panel, you'll get there. But if you look at the instrument panel and go, you know, I don't really believe it. I feel like there are airports over there. We'll just take your airplane if you feel that way and dive bomb for it. And when you break out, you'll probably see a little mountain waiting on you. Or that little voice comes on, Golden Eagle 6 Whiskey Mike. I'm a preacher flying around saying whiskey. My call letter is WM, and they have, you know, words like A is Alpha, B is Bravo. W happens to be whiskey. I'm a preacher flying around saying Whiskey Mike. I just claimed a new wine. Thank you, Jesus. November 6th, Whiskey Mike, turn right, heading 240. I don't feel like it. There's no feel like it to it. You turn right to 240 unless you're prepared to declare an emergency for some reason. And then there'll be an FAA representative waiting on the ground with a whole bunch of papers for you to fill out. I think I'll turn to 240. All right, Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls, this is significant, please mark this, and calls those things which be not as though they were. I like that. He calls those things which be not. Jason Peebles paraphrase. He calls those things that are not yet in existence in the natural, but he calls them into being with his voice. And he's waiting on us to believe him. Verse 18. Now this is why Abraham is so famous. This is why Abraham and Sarah are in the Hall of Fame. My Jason, I'd like to be in Hebrews 11. I'd like to be in the Hall of Fame. You know how long they believed God? Well, I've been standing for a week. I have people who go, I've been believing God. I've been paying my tithes. I teach Sunday school. They go through this whole list. I've been standing for 7 days. Honey, you haven't even made it to Concordance yet, much less Hebrews 11. You're not even in the notes section. And you want to be... Okay, let's move right on. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope? Who against hope? Jason Peebles paraphrase. Who contrary to the natural reasoning and expectations decided to believe in the hope of God. Who against hope believed in hope, circle it, that he might become. Circle that. How many of you want to become what God has called you to do? That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. and be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You know, he could have looked in the mirror and gone. And notice it says when he was about 100. You know, when you get that age, it's kind of about 100. You've seen people that are older. I mean, they don't want a bunch of candles on their birthday cake. Don't even bother. It's just, how old are you? I'm about 100. But he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, there's a little humor here. I mean, I can imagine him standing around the tent. Abraham, do you really believe that we're going to be able to have this child of promise? Oh, yeah. I mean, I just refuse to look in the mirror at my body. And, honey, I'm just not going to spend a lot of time looking at your body. But I believe that God can do this thing. And Sarah, well, Abraham, I don't know if I have enough strength to have this child. Have the child? Trial will probably kill us, honey. I mean, we're just going to go for it. We're going to believe God. Hallelujah. Verse 20. We got to put the raised arm logo on this one. All right, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You ought to mark that. I mean, there's so many people, that's exactly what they do. God comes along, gives them a promise, they stagger. They can't believe it. I fly my instruments, look at my instrument panel, and this happened the other day. That radar's going out about 40 miles. Now, 40 miles, when you're flying 230, 40 miles an hour, doesn't take very long to get there. And so all of a sudden it goes, and it shows a cell, a thunderstorm cell, right in front of me. And it can show the intensity of it by different shades of color. And the ultimate one to avoid is the ones that are flashing. This whole thing is going, boop, 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 boop. Now at that point, you have a decision to make. Are you going to believe that? Or are you going to go by how you feel? Well, keep going. You won't feel anything. So I immediately turn to circumnavigate that and go right or go left, but I'm going to make a decision based on what the instrument panel's telling me. Sometimes, you know, you get, as Pastor Gary Don said, something called vertigo. Anybody ever heard of vertigo? It's just a momentary lapse of... You just kind of lose position awareness. You might feel a little dizzy. But they call this getting back on your stand. They say, get back on your stand. What does the stand mean? Get your eyes moving back across the instrument panel, because they're not just disjointed gauges. Once you've done this enough, it paints a mental picture. You see the different gauges, but you're seeing a mental picture. Okay, I'm 10,000 feet above the ground. I'm doing 200 miles an hour. That airport's off to my left. There's one off to the right. There's the thunderstorms over there. I'm getting ready to go this way. That you've got this mental picture of what's going on, but you can momentarily have just a lapse of position awareness. Now that's true as Christians. There's sometimes you'll have momentary a lapse of position awareness. Don't kick yourself in the head about that. Some people get into condemnation. I wish I could stand here and tell you that every time I walked in that ballroom, I came out going, man, that was a wonderful time. I came out going, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. We go back to the room, call my wife. I hope she'd, you know, be my cheerleader. Amen. Why did you hear me now? You need to be about 90% cheerleader for your husband. About 10% correction. That's the truth. Don't reverse it, please. 10% cheerleader, 90% correction. That'll ruin a marriage right there. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And here's what we talked about. This is very similar to Thanksgiving. Giving glory to God. What will strengthen your faith to walk out of a ballroom and say, God,
I'm not enjoying this. My flesh, but I give you glory. You're going to make this happen. You've got the power to do it. I don't have the power to do it. All my advertising won't do it. You have the power to do it. I give you glory. That's exactly what Abraham and Sarah were doing. In the natural, they were powerless to bring this about. In the natural, it's not natural. Their bodies were way past the age to reproduce. And they gave glory to God. That's what the text says. They gave glory to God. They joined as husband and wife. They probably joined their hands and they lifted their eyes and said, Father, we give you glory. And they had momentary lapse of what they were believing for. It says Sarah laughed. We always get off on Sarah, you know. It says Abraham laughed. Don't get yourself under so much condemnation if you have a momentary lapse. God is a good God. God is gracious. He's not so he's not up there keeping some kind of little tab on you. You know, there's people that get in this confession thing. It's like you say one little bad word, you sneeze. You know, that's silliness. That's silliness. That'll drive somebody nuts. I don't like being around people like that. But, oh my God, I've had Aspen 59 years. Yeah, well, I just took Excedrin this morning. How about that? Amen. You know? Some of them are just lying. That's what they're doing. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, and here it is. This is a good point to close on. He was able also to perform. Do you believe God's able to perform what he's told you? Amen. Certainly he is. I mean, we're believing God, we're saved and going to heaven. I mean, we are believing God. When I stood at my father's funeral, I thought, this is really what it all comes down to. Really, this is what it comes all down to. We believe that he's the God who raises the dead. All these other things we're facing are lesser than. We believe he's the God who raises the dead. He can quicken your mortal body. He can bring the people. He can build the church. He can build the business. He can give you the contacts. He can do it.
Amen.
But you got to fly by instrument.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.